Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Toilets to Titles. My name is Justin Stevens. I'm going to be your host for today. And I have with me none other than the Frito Bandito himself, Rich Gonzalez. Those of you that don't know yet, you must have missed last episode and the episode before that when we talked about Rich. But Rich is our newest team member. He just joined the crew a couple of weeks ago, and he's going to be writing a few articles for the I guess mainly for rookies and rookie dynasty purposes, some college players coming up, that sort of stuff. He'll also be helping us out here and there with the social media. And then of course, days like today, when we need a fill-in guest to pop up and help us out. Rich, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Ready to get into this and hit this free agency and talk about what's going on. And appreciate you guys having me and joining me to the team.
Absolutely, man. It's been good to have you so far. You've been an amazing addition, and it's gonna kind of suck not seeing your comments on the right hand side here that pop up because for those of you that don't know, Rich is a longtime listener. He's been with us since the beginning. He's always chiming in, and but yeah. So real quick, I want to knock out all of the housekeeping type stuff. This is episode 48. We're going to be talking about all the free agent moves, where have all the free agents gone, and how this affects their teams, both the teams they're leaving and the teams that they're joining, or in some cases re-signing with. You can catch us the show at Toilets to Titles on Twitter. Our host, Coach Sheps, he's feeling under the weather this week, and so are really his whole family. So he's just kind of at home and taking care of the kids and the wife and himself. So we'll see you back soon. As a matter of fact, we'll see you next week. Just a heads up, I will not be on next week. I'm going to be on the road at the time that we start recording next week. So I might be watching while we're driving down the road, because I won't be driving. That's for
sure.
All right,
make sure you're not driving now.
You can catch me at JustinFF _, my co-host for today at R Gonzalez RM. Our other co-host at Nate _Dirt19, who is also at home taking care of a sick wife today, and which means by default he's taking care of the baby this morning. So good luck with that, Nate. as a matter of fact, for the rest of the guys, I'm not going to scroll them all across. Down here at the bottom on the scroll, you'll see everybody's Twitter handles and all their information. And I actually need to update this real quick with today's guy. And it is at RM Gonzalez.
At R Gonzalez RM.
RM. RM or RN?
RM. As maybe.
All hey, right.
Coach, hope to have you back soon. Get well.
All right. Don't forget, you can also check us out, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook. We've got two different Facebook links that we link up to. When a Family Breaks is Coach Shep's Facebook page, where he does a lot of fun stuff over there, not just the card breaks and stuff like that. He does auctions and puts out actual NFL content as well on that page. So we've really appreciated that connection there. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe and help us out, and also give us that 5-star review if you can. I know we've been talking it up. We've been talking a lot about it. Rich, you were actually a part of our Frankenstank League, and that's something we've been talking up a lot. But these 5-star reviews, guys, this is where we're going to find our listeners first, and they're going to get the first invites to join the listeners league. So, real quick, before we jump into the show, I do want to talk about our sponsor with Primetime Sports Talk. Today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to PrimetimeSportsTalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. Next month is the start of NFL draft season, Rich. We're finally there.
Yes, man. Waiting all year long again for it.
Yeah, and some guys like Coach Sheps actually look forward. It seems like they look more forward to now, this season, the draft season, the free agency. They look more forward to that time of the year than they do like kickoff of week one. How do you feel about it? Is that you as well, or are you more of the NFL guy?
No, man. It's like, you know, you get to your NFL season and everything, and it's like this whole time frame after leading up to the draft and everything, free agency. It's just like soap operas for us. You know, it's just like seeing all this info coming in and just building up, and like, you know, you're already starting looking at your teams that you have, and just, man, how am I gonna get this person as a draft comes up and everything. You're just hoping these players go to the right spot that they could fit into your team and stuff like that. And it just makes fantasy football just in general all season long, man. I mean, all year long kind of sport and everything. So I love it.
Yep. Draftmas Day is coming. Absolutely. I love it. We do have a couple big trades that we want to talk about. First off, this kind of, I mean, it didn't blow my mind. Like, you could kind of see something like this maybe happening. I guess maybe the timing, I thought something like this might happen a little closer to the NFL draft. But with all those picks that the Dolphins have, we kind of figured they were going to use some of that for leverage to make some moves. And they did, man. It's like they're playing dynasty football out there, dynasty fantasy football, I should say. But
yeah, you would have thought that this would happen on NFL draft day. You know, this is when you start seeing those things come up, and, you know, you see, okay, well, a trade has happened and everything. So, but man, it's just like a month beforehand. It's just, that's what's kind of extraordinary about it.
Right. Right. And for those of you that don't know, the Dolphins gave up the 103 for this year's draft, third overall pick. And they traded them to the 49ers, who very clearly, in my mind, this means that the Niners are not as confident in Jimmy G as they have always claimed that they were. But the Niners gave up the 112, a first and third for next season, and a first for 2023. So they gave up essentially three first and a third to move up, what, nine spots?
Yep.
That means they're trying. They're definitely, you're not doing the trade like this unless you're doing it to get your quarterback. You know what I mean?
Yeah, think of the timing too. Right after Zach Wilson had his pro day and showed some amazing talent out there on that field.
Right, right. Yeah, they're definitely going after quarterback, and you got to believe that they know what the and obviously we know what where Trevor Lawrence is going. We know what the top team is doing. We know what the second team should do. So, you know, they got to feel like they know what's going on with the draft to make a move this bold. But also on the flip side, the Dolphins then took that 112. They flipped that with the pick 123 overall and their 2022 first. So they just got another 2022 first from the Niners. And so they take their 2022 first, their 112, and the pick 123 overall, and send that over to the Eagles to bump up, back up six more spots, back to the 106, and got the pick 156. So in other words, they moved back much later in the draft, like round, I don't know, four or five. I didn't really do the math on this, but so they moved back like what, 33 picks, like late in the draft. And they move up six picks in the first round and give up a 2022 first. But mind you, they've got all these first round picks. They can afford that jump. So they're jumping back up from the 112 to 106. So in my mind, what that's telling me is the Dolphins already have a good idea of who they want. And they felt strongly that player was going to be there at that 106 spot. So they really didn't need to stick around at the 103. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. It just kind of fortitudes the fact that, you know, all this talk about Tua and everything. Look, if they're willing to drop back, they're comfortable with him. And to think about this, you know, all these picks came from that trade of Laremy Tunsil. You know, break that down and everything. They got six first-round draft picks for the next 3 years, not to mention the multiple draft picks that they're going to have in the second and third round.
Yep, absolutely. So the real key here is if you want to succeed in the draft in the NFL, just find O'Brien and try to make some trades with him if he's still got a job around. So
Coach Flores, man, is set up for success.
Yeah, he is. So just to recap the whole thing. So this is essentially what happened between the two trades. The Dolphins moved back three spots in the first round, and they gain a 2023 first and a 2022 third by making the move. That's essentially what happened. But by moving back three spots to get the guy that they already know that they want to get anyway. Like, they're doing a great job. They're killing it. But, all right, so just to jump right into it here, there are 32 teams here. I don't know that we're going to get to all 32. I don't know that we're going to get to every player. At the very least, we're going to try to hit all the major points here. So Rich, I think what we're going to do, I'll just call out the name, and then we'll talk briefly about it, like all the names for each team, and just kind of briefly talk about each team, and we'll knock it out. I wanted to make sure that since you're on the show, we started off with the AFC West and we started off with your beloved Raiders, because I want to make sure that we get that team in at the very least. So the Raiders did make some moves. They signed John Brown, Kenyon Drake, Yannick Ngakoue, and Willie Snead. So what do you think about their moves so far in free agency as a Raiders fan?
Yeah, you know, going into this free agency, a lot of the Raider Nation is, we're looking at all kind of defensive players to bolster that defense and everything. Because, look, the offense wasn't bad at all last year. And, yeah, we started out with Splash, if you want to, with Yannick and everything. But we bolstered that defensive line. Let's just say we added some depth and some talent and everything by signing Yannick, Solomon Thomas, former first-round pick and everything too, you know. So, just in general and stuff like that, everybody was going in general thinking that we were going to just all defense and everything. But yet we turn around and sign John Brown after we lost Nelson Aguilar. So, yeah, you know what? Probably an even swap across. John Brown, if staying healthy and everything, might produce a little bit more than Aguilar, but that's yet to be seen. And then bringing in Kenyon Drake, a lot of people think that's a downgrade for Jacobs. But, man, I just don't see it. I mean, They're going to utilize him as that change of pace back and everything and out of the backfield. So I think it's going to be the same kind of role Booker and Jacobs had last year and everything. And I just think Drake is going to be able to produce more in his chances and everything. So really like what they've done and everything. Now, yeah, we lost some key players on the line. But, look, we were paying a line top money for the line we had and weren't really getting the production that for a top line and everything. So why not trade away and get some future picks and build that offensive line with them young players? Look what happened with Colton Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of just right there, you just answered live from the Ben's question, because he wanted to know. Part of his question, though, that we didn't quite get to is he wants to know if Carr can function now that his O-line has been stripped down to the bones. And then why did they trade a stud O-lineman like Hudson to sign backup running backs and vet wide receivers?
Yeah, just like I said, hey, you know, we had these big players like Trent Brown and everything and stuff. And, you know, as big as they were in the power game we had and everything, you know, we were doing a lot of outside zone and everything. But and to me, when I look at zone schemes and everything, you want to have agile, quick players and everything to help in those zone blocking schemes and everything. And to me, if you get some more younger and agile players and everything, I mean, that suits well for Jacobs and Drake and stuff like that, because they're both great zone read kind of players and stuff like that, and break those when they see that hole, man, just shoot up it and just do what they can.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, and Yannick Ngakoue is one of my favorite players in the NFL, not just from a talent standpoint, but I follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow, and he just seems like a solid, down-to-earth dude. So. But I am curious, obviously we know Darren Waller is the wide receiver one on that team, but who's the wide receiver one on that team now?
Yeah. You know what? If John Brown comes in and stays healthy, look, he's going to be that veteran, leadership that we have on the team. But look, we got a young core and everything. And look, I'm going to read you a stat and you tell me what you think on this. Okay. I would have told you, rookie receiver, 38 receptions, 446 yards, and 3 touchdowns. What kind of player are you looking? What you thinking that is?
I mean, I'm thinking that's a nice little. I think it's a decent start for a rookie player. I think maybe that's a player that had a couple injuries, maybe, or missed a couple of games. Or maybe it's a slot receiver that's more of a first down guy that just happened to get in the end zone a few times.
Okay, what if I told you that was Davante Adams, his rookie year?
Okay. Yeah, I can believe that. They had Jordy Nelson there. They had a lot of receiving options, and so I could see that for sure. But who are you talking about? Or well, I mean, who are you trying to compare him to?
You know, I'm just throwing out those stats and everything, you know. You know, right. Everybody say, oh, our rookie receivers didn't produce and everything. You got to think, no offseason and everything and stuff like that. So we got to give these guys opportunity. I honestly right. believe Bryan Edwards is going to turn into that guy. I love Ruggs, too, and stuff like that. But to me, Edwards is the key. If he could stay healthy and stuff and really pick up, have a good offseason and everything, he's going to be our number one guy.
Okay. I like the confidence. I like it. Now let's talk about your divisional foes. The Denver Broncos, they signed Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller at cornerback. So yes, they're bolstering that secondary. And Kareem Jackson is coming back as strong safety. And then they also signed Mike Boone. They lost Phillip Lindsay. They bring in Mike Boone. Personally, I like the changes there on defense. And Mike Boone, I believe Mike Boone is a player. I believe that he is a solid backup role-playing guy. And if they're going to lose Phillip Lindsay and give more carries that way to Melvin Gordon now and have Mike Boone come in as a change of pace back, I think that really helps out Melvin Gordon in my mind. But I also think Mike Boone himself could be somewhat valuable. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was buried behind Cook and Madison and everything. So, you know, even when they went down and stuff like that, you didn't really get to see his true potential and everything. But, you know, if he gets more opportunity like he would here with Denver, I think we're going to see a lot more production out of him. Hey, Jess, can't hear you.
Now we've got Kansas City. Sorry about that. Kansas City lost Sammy Watkins and Damian Williams, and they re-signed several of their own free agents. So, like, they didn't really lose anybody major, I don't think. I've never been really huge on Sammy Watkins or Damian. But I do think that both of them are still players. Both of them still have a chance. And we'll talk about their landing spots in a minute. But as far as the Chiefs themselves go, they're working from in-house. You know, they're building from within. They're signing their own free agents, and they're not really going out and dipping their toe in the rest of the free agent market. So, what do you think of that?
You know, you say that and everything, but, you know, they did go after Juju. They tried to get him. And from what I'm hearing, they did try to go out after multiple receivers and everything. And it's kind of – I don't know what that says when you're not able to sign some of those receivers that could have been big potential even in the offense you have already, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about that. I mean – if I'm Juju, I would have signed there in a heartbeat, especially knowing that they were going to pay more than the Steelers were going to pay. I mean, he's not the guy for the Steelers anymore, and not that he would be the guy for Kansas City, but, I mean, you may as well go there for the money and the championship opportunities. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I don't get it at all, but it is what it is. I mean, maybe people just don't want to play in the Midwest. the L.A. Chargers. They signed Corey Linsley and Matt Feeler to help beef up that offensive line to protect Justin Herbert. And then they've got Jared Cook on a one-year, $6 million deal. The reason I threw in the contract for this one is because it was intriguing to me because he's an older player, like 32 years old, 33 years old, Jared Cook I'm talking about. And they just lost Hunter Henry. They don't really have any great tight ends there, but, I mean, they had some guys. They had some tight ends. And they still wanted to pay $6 million to bring Jared Cook in for 1 year. So thinking redraft, you know, I'm kind of thinking Jared Cook has an opportunity to actually, you know, be a player again like he was a couple years ago with Drew Brees when they connected. But what I'm real excited about are those two offensive linemen, Justin Herbert, to protect him. That's going to be well needed because as a Colts fan, seeing Andrew Luck get hurt constantly and see that ruin his career. And now we're still trying to recover from that. Like you don't want that to happen to your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no, and Herbert's a great quarterback and everything. They need to do everything to protect him and stuff like that for the future. because he could be a big, huge star for many years to come.
Yeah. All right. You want to go ahead and talk about the Houston Texans first, real quick?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So Houston Texans, some of their key acquisitions this past 2 weeks, they did bring in Tyrod Taylor. It's kind of interesting that they did him and also brought in the other backup from Cincinnati. And it's kind of a tell of, you know, they're trying to load up on QBs and stuff because they don't know what's going to happen with Watson. So maybe they're trying to make sure they have a big QB room just to protect themselves and ready for this season. So that's kind of an interesting story leading up to this. Also, they signed veteran running back Mark Ingram to come in and fill in with David Johnson. They also brought in Lindsey, so that, you know, building up that running back room too and everything. So they also picked up Justin McGray, the guard, and signed a whole bunch of defensive players. They did lose J.J. Watt, so they do have to replace him and everything, but they had a pretty good defensive line and everything that, you know, they have some young people on there. So that's where some of the moves that they made during the season so far. What do you think?
Yeah. So I think personally, I think there's a chance that they feel pretty strongly that Deshaun Watson isn't going to be there, or if he is, he's going to be missing some time. And I feel like they're trying to get back to that old school football mentality. They signed 13 defensive players. They're going to try to help build that defense back up and try to do all they can just to stay in games and then run. I mean, they've got three very viable, decent running backs now. I wouldn't call any of them great, but they're all pretty good. And getting Justin McCray, the guard up the middle, I mean, that I feel like this is going to be a run-heavy team with the hopes that their defense can help keep them in games and drag the game out. So, and they lost Will Fuller and haven't really done anything to address the wide receiver position either. So,
not very true. Next team we're looking at for the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans. Key signings is DeNico Autry and Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree was a huge signing for them and everything. I mean, I feel their defense wasn't the best and everything, but they have a lot of bright spots through the year, and adding him in there is really going to bolster their defense. Now, they did lose Johnny Smith and Corey Davis, but this really bolsters Anthony Firkser's opportunity in that offense. You know, just in the limited time he had last year and stuff like that, you could see those bright spots that where he jumped in and everything when Smith was injured and everything. So really like that. You know, they also lost Humphreys and Khalif, so they did lose a lot of receivers and everything, but they did sign Josh Reynolds from the Rams. And to me, that could be a little sneak value right there and stuff like that, because depending on how people talk him up and everything and stuff like that, you might be able to get great value for him later on in the drafts.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're not a real super pass heavy team, but Tannehill did prove last season that he is efficient. And like I said, with losing Corey Davis and losing Jonnu Smith, he does have some opportunity to step up. That Bud Dupree, though, 5 years, $82.5 million. Like, I always thought that he was kind of underappreciated and undervalued across the league, and that a lot of people didn't really appreciate his talent. But obviously the Titans appreciate it.
Well, I think the Steelers did too and everything. But this cap this year and stuff like that really forced a lot of teams to make some tough decisions on how they were going to play players, pay players, and which ones to keep and everything. And I think that played a big factor into it.
Yeah, and that's going to happen every year. But those two signings in particular really hurt me as a Colts fan. DeNico Autry, leaving my Colts to go to the division rivals. So we wish you all the luck possible out there, DeNico, without your team actually being successful. And then Bud Dupree, I've been a big fan of his since the jump, and he went from one of my least favorite teams in the Steelers to another team I'm not real fond of. So I'd love to see that guy end his career someplace I like so I can really root for him. The Colts are the next team up. Obviously, that's my team. I'm going to attack that one, which means I don't have much to talk about. We did re-sign T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack. I think Marlon Mack was an extremely talented and underrated player. He had over 1,000 yards two seasons in a row and was looking good, like looking like an incredible running back. And then he blows the Achilles, which is a tough injury to come back from. Not to say that it can't be done. It is possible. It's just not likely for a running back to come back and be anywhere close to what he was. Jonathan Taylor showed that he can dominate. I really believe that. I know the end of the schedule last season was a much easier schedule for the Colts, but he was also a rookie the first half of the season, and they didn't give him the ball like they should have. So I think they were just trying to build him up into it and try to save him for the playoffs, and I think they did exactly what they were hoping to do with Jonathan Taylor. I do think he's the real deal. I think Marlon is going to be a backup at best. He'll see some playing time, but I'm not buying into the idea that I could get him for cheap right now, unless it's for like a fourth rounder. And I mean, any running back that might see playing time is going to be valued at more than a fourth rounder for most people. T.Y. Yeah, Hilton.
Go ahead.
No. You're going. Go ahead. Talk about.
No, I was going to say you didn't even really talk about the hugest move that they made for this offseason. That was signing Carson Wentz.
That wasn't a free agent move though. But I was going to kind of mention it with T.Y. Hilton though. Whenever I brought him up. So T.Y. they bring T.Y. back. I don't think he has nearly the talent that he once had. Coach Sheps actually mentioned a couple off seasons ago to start watching for that decline. And I took his advice and sold him at just the right time. And T.Y. was serviceable last season. He had some moments, but I think with Wentz, you might see a little bit of a resurgence with T.Y. because Phillip Rivers was not the deep ball guy last season that he used to be several years ago. And I tried to warn everybody about that, and I was right. And connecting deep was not his best forte. T.Y. has the speed, even though he's lost a step or two. He still does have the speed to break the defense from time to time. So with
he has that quickness.
We just got to hope that Wentz can stay healthy. That's really all it is. If Wentz stays healthy, T.Y. goes as Wentz goes, and Wentz is going to go as Pittman goes. I think Pittman is another up and rising wide receiver that's going to be a stud in this league and in fantasy. So he can only be successful.
Where are you looking on Hilton going in a draft?
Or in redraft?
Yeah, in redraft, let's say.
I would imagine you could probably get him in the sixth round.
Okay.
And I think that's a fair value. I think in the sixth round, he's going to be your wide receiver, three, wide receiver two, depending on how you draft. I'm okay with that. I think it's probably about fair. Now, where I live, being in my home leagues, he's probably going to go in the fourth round, fifth round. So I won't have him in any of my home leagues, that's for sure.
Gotcha.
The Jaguars, they signed
three. So Jaguars had three big defensive names that they picked up. One of the big ones, Shaquille Griffin from Seattle. Also picked up Rayshon Jenkins and Roy Robertson and everything. So three key defensive players to bolster their defense and everything. They did pick up Marvin Jones. And I was going back and forth with you last night thinking he went somewhere else for some reason and everything. And you had to put me in check real quick, so I appreciate that. Now he's coming in to replace Keelan Cole. And I think Marvin Jones is a great player to bring in, especially with them drafting a new QB this year and in the draft and everything. So I think he'll be a great fit to come in and kind of help with the building of this offense. They did also bring in C.J. Beathard from the 49ers camp. So just to kind of have that backup role and kind of that mentor in the QB room and everything. And also they did bring in Carlos Hyde from Seattle. So just kind of bolster that running game behind James Robinson and have some depth there.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I don't really have too much more to say about the Jaguars. You really pretty much hit all the main points. I don't think that Carlos Hyde is going to really take away a hell of a lot from James Robinson.
Agree.
But I think that it'll be enough. Like I feel like a lot of James Robinson was opportunity. I really do. I feel like, not to say that he's not talented, and it was just his rookie season. So, like, there's a lot of things to say that James Robinson could take a hit, and there's also a lot of things to suggest that we've only seen the beginning. So it's so hard to gauge James Robinson right now. Plus, having that Carlos Hyde, a change of pace guy to help give him a breather from time to time, could actually potentially help him in the long run as well. So I don't think this is a bad signing for James Robinson owners in any way, but
I don't think it hurts them at all.
Yeah, it is what it is. I've got the Baltimore Ravens here. I'm going to move on to the AFC North, and so what was interesting to me were a couple of big contracts they signed. Tyson Bowser, outside linebacker, for $22 million, 4 years, and Kevin Zeitzler, the offensive guard, for 3 years, $22.5 million. So those were interesting to me just because it just kind of shows that they are spending a lot of money to try to build role players out there. They're not just trying to only focus on Lamar Jackson in that offense, and Kevin Zeitler there actually helps with the running game an awful lot too, which is intriguing to me. So Sammy yes. Watkins, they also signed Sammy Watkins. And Watkins, obviously he's going to come out on Twitter and make an announcement or whatever and say, anybody would love to play with Lamar Jackson. But my question to him is, if that's the case, why is nobody else wanting to play with Lamar Jackson? Like, they had plenty of opportunities to sign plenty of wide receivers and everybody turned them down. And then you're the one that's left, Sammy. Like, I feel bad for Lamar Jackson that he cannot get a solid wide receiving core out there. But Sammy Watkins isn't the answer either. I've never been a big Sammy fan. How do you feel about Sammy?
Yeah, I'm not big on him either. I mean, I know Ben is, live from the Ben. He posted down there he loves this Sammy Watkins signing and everything. So goodbye. And yeah, it's yet to see and everything. But just to back up what you're saying and everything, I do feel for Jackson and everything due to the fact that our receiver's going to want to go to this team and stuff like that. Because on the same token, they want to have production. And is Watkins going to be – I mean, is Jackson going to be able to get them the ball enough and everything? Because this is a run-dominant team and everything. And this is something that's going to hurt the Jackson and the Baltimore going forward until they're able to get that one stud in there that people are just truly talking about.
Yeah, and Ben also mentioned something. And when we say Ben, we're talking about at Live from the Ben, by the way. Check him out on Twitter. He's one of our writers of the show. But – talking about Ben, he said that the Colts were dumb for not signing Sammy Watkins. But I got to tell you, a healthy Paris Campbell, in my mind, is better than Sammy Watkins. Sammy's going to give you 2-4 games that are really good and 2-4 games where you wish he wasn't on the field, 2-4 games where he's not going to be on the field. There's way too much inconsistency with that man. You can't build a game plan with Sammy Watkins as a key role. Now, Paris Campbell, you can. And I understand, I know I just talked about his injury, but Paris Campbell went down early last season. He went down early the year before that. But what a little bit we saw of Paris last season, the first game and the first quarter of last season, he was explosive. And he was coming off the ball. He was getting targets. He was catching the ball. He was running. I mean, he looked amazing. He looked really good. So take him out of the equation. Pretend like he is unhealthy. And you got Michael Pittman and T.Y. Hilton. I'm still perfectly fine with that. I don't need Sammy Watkins on my team. So I'm glad they did not sign Sammy Watkins. The Cincinnati Bengals, they signed Trey Hendrickson to replace Carl Lawson. So that was kind of a pretty decent little swap there. And they signed Mike Hilton to replace William Jackson, which I really like. Yes. And then they also signed Chidobe Awuzie, Riley Reiff, Larry Ogunjobi, Samaje Perine. So they signed a bunch of players that we cannot pronounce, just so that I can throw all those names down here and not have any idea what I'm talking about. And also remember, guys, I'm not an IDP guy, so take that for what it's worth. But they did. It is a whole lot of sweet role players and some big names as well. But the big question here from I believe this one was from Matt. It was Matt or Ben, one of them. I think it's Matt, but it's does AJ Green have anything left for the Cardinals? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, leaving Cincinnati Bengals and everything, I mean, he also coming back from injury and everything, you know, not the best season and everything, but I do think he'll be able to fit in with Arizona and stuff like that with Hopkins on the other side. So he's gonna be that player. I mean, they got great receivers over there too. A lot of young guys and everything. Fitz, I mean, not so much Fitz, but Green could really fit into that team and everything and be a clutch player for Murray. So I know we're not talking about them yet, but
I threw you for a loop there. I kind of threw a wrench in there. I put that because that question was added at the bottom of our show notes, and I tried to throw it in where the teams belong. And obviously, I must have been thinking AJ Green, Bengals. But so I threw you off a little bit there. But at the same token, the Bengals losing AJ Green, I mean, they do kind of need a wide receiving core. They have T. Higgins, which I think is a great up and coming wide receiver. John Ross. I hope so. They still need that third guy, though. You know, yes. Like I thought that Tyler Boyd was going to make that great third guy, since T. Higgins was probably going to take a step up. But I still think AJ Green has something left in the tank. I still do, and I'm a believer, but I'm also a fan. So take it for what it's worth. The Browns signed John Johnson and Troy Hill for their secondary. They also signed my guy Anthony Walker, who's been stuck behind Darius Leonard for the Indianapolis Colts. I think that was a sneaky good sign for the Browns. And then they're keeping Rashard Higgins for what that's worth. So nothing too major there in Cleveland at this point. Pittsburgh, they're keeping Juju. And like we've already mentioned, they lost Bud Dupree and Mike Hilton. They haven't really done too much in the free agent pool either.
Yeah, they didn't. You know, I really thought they would address the running back situation. And, you know, a lot of talks was that Chris Carson go in that direction and everything. But as of right now, you know, Connor hasn't signed anywhere yet. So maybe he comes back. You got Benny Snell there and everything. So, you know, if everything stays pat to where it is, I mean, maybe they're looking at the draft to bolster that running back game.
Right. Yep. Now, one team that has done an awful lot in free agency.
Yes.
So we've got the sun is moving right along with me here. But the New England Patriots, they've done a lot in free agency. And they don't always do this, but they did sign Matt Judon. They signed Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, James White, Joe Tunney, the guard, on a 5-year, $8 million deal, which is interesting. And I've got some theories on some of these particular signings. Jalen Mills, Nelson Aguilar, David Andrews, Devon Godshock, Kendrick Bourne, Kyle Van Noy, Trent Brown. I mean, they've signed some players. They've signed a lot of players, and they're actually good key players. So my theory here is, and stop me if you think I'm wrong or if you think I'm crazy, okay? But I feel like they could kind of see the writing on the wall with Jimmy Garoppolo. And they also kind of know that Cam is kind of a shell of himself. And I know Cam played really well pre-COVID. There's no guarantee he won't play well again. That's why they gave him another 1-year contract. This helps set them up if Cam is their quarterback or if Jimmy G is their next new quarterback again, if he comes back in and takes over a starting role. This sets them up because they've got tight ends that Jimmy G in particular likes to throw to. And he loves that up the middle stuff. And you've got Kendrick Bourne is good at middle routes. Nelson Aguilar can run those middle routes. And then you've got Cam Newton who, you know, if he's aging and if he's starting to lose it, those are the kind of guys that they tend to throw to and lean on. But also they can help block Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. You get one on either side, they can help block so that Cam can run a little more with the ball. The re-signing of James White gives them that outlet to throw to. They're signing offensive linemen to help with the running game. Like, I think they're really trying to build this team around the possibility of either of those quarterbacks. What do you think of that?
No, I was kind of thinking the same thing when 49ers moved up. Now, it depends on what quarterback they draft. You know, obviously they moved up to draft a QB and everything, but if they draft a QB and everything and say it's Justin Fields, okay, that would make a perfect sense for, hey, you know, so let's, since we drafted him, let's trade Garoppolo back to the Patriots and bring in Cam to mentor him. I think that would be a great fit and stuff like that. And I know you thought it as a theory, but that was going around in my head too and everything. So I truly think that's something that can be set up based off all the moves that I've made in the past couple of days. The Patriots, man, I mean, they just reloaded, to be honest with you, to start over. Now, on the same token, look, are they doing the Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith to revamp like they did with Gronk and Hernandez? Looks like it, but they ain't going to have Brady throwing to him. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe, but I don't. So I think that that was more of a natural progression, a natural flow for the team. They happen to have a couple of solid tight ends that built themselves up and created themselves into something amazing. And they had a hell of a run with a really good team around them. I don't think that they're necessarily purposefully going out and saying, hey, you be Gronk and you be Hernandez, you know, which, let's face it, they would both want to be Gronk. but I think maybe the way that the offense was set up, there's some schemes there that they like and something that they can build around. But I don't think that this is an intentional thing. It's just a totally different team. It's so hard to compare. But Matthew, our guy Matt from across the pond, at Matthew, you can see that that Twitter handle scrolling across the bottom. He wanted us to mention that the Patriots have upgraded everywhere. Even Aguilar was a massive upgrade. That's who bad the pass catchers were. Oh, that's how bad the pass catchers were. Okay, he spelled that wrong. All right, that's how bad the pass catchers were. Unfortunately, they're not playing in the AFC from 2015 anymore. I don't think it matters with the Bills and Colts looking like real title shots. All right, Bills and Colts. See that? He threw in the Colts instead of like the Ravens and the Chiefs. I like that, Matt.
Give us some Colts love.
That's right. That's right. The Bills signed Emmanuel Sanders, Mitchie Trubisky, and then they re-signed Isaiah McKenzie. They also got Matt Breida, which I was kind of upset about the Matt Breida signing because I felt like Matt had at least somewhat of a chance to maybe make a name for himself in Miami this year with all the question marks at running back there. So he goes to Buffalo, where he's now going to be behind Moss and Singletary. I don't know that he's going to get a lot of opportunity there. I love the Isaiah McKenzie re-signing, and I mean, Mitch Trubisky, it is what it is. I feel bad for the guy, but, you know, he's going to be a backup for a year, and if for whatever reason he does get an opportunity because of injury, then maybe that is a team that he might have a chance to showcase his talents with, but I don't know if there's much to showcase.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, Allen's a stud there. I mean, he does run a lot, so that chance of having an injury and everything is there and everything. So, but I just would have thought he would have went somewhere else to be able to get a better chance of showing an opportunity to re-show that with another team. He may be able to do it. The Bills, I mean, I feel like it was no huge shakeups or anything like that. So just a lot of key players to come in and help support the team that they already have and just to build a little bit more depth.
Yep.
Now the Dolphins, you know, they go ahead.
We're going to try to speed this up just a little bit. We're like almost 50 minutes in, and we haven't even hit the NFC yet. So so we're going to just kind of speed through some of these and talk about the main guys. But the Miami Dolphins have signed Will Fuller, Jacoby Brissett, and Malcolm Brown. So Malcolm Brown kind of takes over that Matt Breida theory that I had, except I think Malcolm might even be a little better. So he might really be able to step up there. Jacoby is going to be a backup there, unfortunately. And then, but I love the Will Fuller signing. I think that this will help prove that Tua does have a deep ball. What do you think?
No, I like all the signings and everything. I really like the Malcolm Brown signing and everything just to kind of help that running game there. I mean, they had some good young players there and everything, but he's another good player that will step in. And I think Will do a better role than what Breida did when he was there. So Will Fuller, if he could go in there and just show him that 1 year wonder and stuff like that, could set him up success for a huge contract.
Yeah. Corey Davis cashes in on one amazing year. Well, amazing by his standards. He gets 3 years, $37.5 million for the Jets, along with Carl Lawson. They signed the Jets signed Carl Lawson. I think that Corey Davis having a new quarterback with the Jets is going to help. But congratulations, Corey Davis. Unfortunately, you went to the Jets, but you did deserve your money there. So the NFC, we're at the NFC West. We got the Arizona Cardinals. We already talked about AJ Green. Don't need to dip into that. Malcolm Brown, JJ Watt helped that defense out. I hope JJ can stay healthy. I hope he ends his career on a good note. He definitely deserves it. And that's coming from a Colts fan. You know, like I appreciate JJ for everything that he's done for charities and for the league and everything else. So, and Andy's a good follow. And
yeah,
so
great dude. Great dude.
What about the Rams? You want to bring
up the Rams? So the Rams key signing with DeSean Jackson. Obviously, in his later years and everything, but brings in some depth and everything. And I think this was more of a move to him get back on the West Coast and everything. That's where he truly from and everything. Then they did. They lost 9 of their own free agents and signed 0 of their own thus far. So they're still kind of not making a lot of moves. So we really don't have to spend a lot of time there. What's your thoughts on Jackson?
Yeah, I think Jackson is only there because of their salary cap issues. They lost Josh Reynolds. That offense is built to have 3 guys. They need DeSean Jackson to stay healthy, and they need him to stay fast, and they need him to stay young. And I'm not sure that any of those 3 things are going to be able to happen. But they got him for cheap enough that it's worth a shot, and they couldn't afford much more. So
exactly,
that's pretty much where I lie there. San Francisco. They signed Trent Williams, 6 years, $138 million. Go get yours, big boy. Congratulations. And then they signed Alex Mack. Not really much else going on there other than the big trade, obviously. They're looking to build through the draft a little bit here. I'm excited to see what quarterback goes there for Ayuk and Debo. And I think that could be a real exciting offense with a little bit more competent quarterback. Seattle signed 3 defensive ends with a combined age of 92 years old. I just thought that was amazing when I was looking through the free agent signings. Carlos Dunlap is 32. Kerry Hyder and Benson Mayoa are both 30 years old. Yeah, they're both 30 years old. I just thought that was hilarious. But I mean, Seattle's defense isn't what it was, and they could always use that help there. But the big signing here, obviously, is Chris Carson, 2 years, $10.5 million. So they get Chris Carson back. Not much is going to change in that offense. If anything, they're only going to continue to get better as they're all still together for
now,
another.
They did bring in Gabe Jackson from the Raiders. That was a trade that was made during the free agency. So. That's the one thing that they really need to improve on is the offensive line to help Carson and Russell.
And what did the Raiders get out of that deal?
On that one, I want to say it was a 5th-round pick.
Oh, okay. All right. So that might have been a cap issue or who knows what. All right. NFC South, you want to hop on to Atlanta here?
Yeah, so Atlanta Falcons, notables, they did lose Alex Mack and Justin McCray, both left. They did pick up Mike Davis. I really like this signing for them and everything. I'm assuming Gurley's still there under contract and everything. Is that true?
I can look it up real quick while you're talking.
What? Yeah, I think Mike, like I said, I think Mike Davis is the key role for them and stuff like that. I think he'll produce and everything. I mean, he showed in Carolina when McCaffrey went down, when given the opportunity and everything, he can produce for this team. And if they could bolster the line with another offensive pick with their 1st-round pick and stuff like that, they're just building up and setting up for next year to maybe go after that QB, rookie QB for next year. Live from the Ben, he said, is Mike Davis within Atlanta? Are you buying or selling?
Personally, I'm buying. I'm buying because Todd Gurley, that last 4 games, he really killed fantasy owners, and I think it's just a sign of what's to come. So this says that his base salary for Todd Gurley is $3.5 million. it doesn't say Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent right now as we speak. So he's a free agent, and nobody's signing him. I haven't even heard word of him going anywhere for a visit or anything. So
So
rip Todd Gurley, at least as a starter. You were good to us once. We love you. We'll miss you. But I'm definitely buying Mike Davis because I think he showed enough talent in Carolina. Now, the downside to buying Mike Davis, we already gave a notice earlier that the Falcons have lost Alex Mack and Justin McCray. Their offensive line was already really bad. Like, that concerns me. That concerns me quite a bit. So they're going to have to really do something in the draft and work on that that offensive line somehow. But even with that, I think you can fix an offensive line in a couple of years. Running backs may not have a couple of years, but Mike Davis is still a talented back, and I think you're going to get him cheap enough. I think he's going to be a running back that goes maybe in the fourth round. If you can get a starting running back in the fourth round as your RB3, which, by the way, that's how you need to draft and redraft. Your first three or four rounds should be running backs, or at least three of your first four rounds should be running backs, period, especially all those redraft one quarterback leagues you're in. And if you're not in any of those, then I'm just talking old school and I'm just some crotchety old man and you don't have to worry about it. But that's where I come from.
Now, the Saints, they didn't really do much so far on free agency. I mean, have lost all but one of their own free agents and have signed nobody up to this point. I haven't seen any kind of movement at all and stuff like that. Now, they were one of those teams that were heavily over the cap. And everything. Yeah. So that is a big factor into what they're doing. So
yeah, they were heavily all in for Breeze's swan song and final run the last couple of years. And unfortunately for them, it didn't work out. But so now they're going to be suffering the consequences of that for the next couple of years. So that's like with everybody trying to go all in on Jameis Winston right now. Like, I get that there's still a decent core around him. You got Kamara and you got Michael Thomas, but there really isn't a lot of supporting roles that are being filled in that team all the way around him. And I think that Jameis Winston is still the type of quarterback that needs that supporting cast. So I'm not sure that I'm going all in on Jameis Winston like a lot of people are. The Bucs
signed one of those late picks.
Exactly. Yeah. The Bucs signed 8 of their own 10 free agents, so they're kind of doing a little bit more of what we've seen from the Patriots in the past, of course, go figure. And they're signing from within. That's including Shaquille Barrett, big Rob Gronkowski, and Leonard Fournette. They haven't signed anyone from another team yet, which just kind of it's just a good team that's going to keep continuing to build from within, and they're going to continue to stay good that way. That's how good teams stay good, guys. Like, all these teams that go out and just spend all this money and throw all the money at all the talent, and then all the talent comes together and you see crap on the field. Like, in my mind, I feel like you see good teams remain good because they continue to build from within. You know, that's what Chris Ballard did with the Chiefs. That's what he's been doing with the Colts. That's why they finally started bouncing back from that Ryan Grigson debacle when he was the Colts GM. And I mean, that's what you're seeing in Tampa Bay right now. So
they're going back to that old motto: if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yep. The Panthers lost Mike Davis, and they also lost Curtis Samuel. So again, that's another big one in my mind: Mike Davis and Curtis Samuel. So they're both, like, Curtis Samuel wasn't necessarily the number one wide receiver, but he was a good wide receiver. He was solid anyway. Like, nothing that really jumped out, but from an NFL standpoint, he really helped that team. Same with Mike Davis. When he was called upon, when he was needed, he was there. So they're losing some key players here, but they did sign a couple of offensive linemen to help bolster the O-line a bit. So maybe that'll help, but I don't know. Why don't you jump on into the NFC North?
Yeah. So with the Minnesota Vikings, they did sign Patrick Peterson and Davlin Thomas to help with that defense. Have lost a lot of their own major free agents and everything. Besides that, they really haven't done anything as far as to improve anything. But their offense, I mean, if you sit there and think about it, you still got two great receivers. Justin Jefferson is a star in the making and everything after his rookie season. Now, yeah, they got Cousins and everything, but we're gonna have to, I think they're gonna build up to the draft. So not really going crazy in free agency. So not much there going on and everything. Any thoughts on that real quick before we jump to the next team?
Not really. Yeah.
So next team we're gonna be going into Chicago Bears. Now they did re-sign Robinson and stuff like that. So really thought they were gonna go after Galladay to really strengthen that receiving core and everything. But with them signing Andy Dalton and everything, he's going to be that bridge QB. That's what they're looking at right now. So, obviously, you got to think that they'll be looking at QBs in the draft. And they also did sign Damian Williams from Kansas City and everything after he opted out last year. So, just to kind of go in there and help support Montgomery, you know. Like I said, not much going on there. You know, you would have thought they would have been more active, but not really.
I actually like the Damian Williams signing from a Chicago Bears standpoint. I don't really like it, obviously, from a fantasy standpoint, but as a team, I think that Damian Williams was a little bit underrated. I think he meant more to Kansas City than Kansas City would like to admit, and him being out last season really proved that. I think that he was starting to come into his own in the league. He's still pretty young by running back standards. He's not an old guy by any means. So I think he could come in and really spell Montgomery really well. So I kind of look forward to that tandem there, but I think I'm going to avoid it for fantasy purposes because you still have Cohen that's coming out of the backfield as well. So
correct. The Detroit Lions, man, I don't know what to think of this team right now, man. I mean, you lose Galladay, you lose Marvin Jones and stuff, receiving core, and then on top of that, you bring Jamal Williams in to help in the running game and stuff like that. But it's like, what really support does, it drew a blank on the QB that they just got.
Jared Goff,
there you go. You know, he is a QB that needs tons of support around him to succeed and stuff like that. And it just doesn't seem like that's happening right now. But they did get. They did pick up some players. They gained Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman, and Khalif Raymond, all third rated receivers, if you ask me. great replacing Kenny Galladay and Jones. Yeah. So don't worry, folks. They are still the Detroit Lions that we all know and love. Your thoughts?
Let's see, the Packers, not really much to talk about there. Aaron Jones does re-sign, obviously. That was the big news there, which kills guys like me who are A.J. Dillon truthers. And I'm glad that Williams is gone because at least he'll get more of an opportunity to show himself. But I kind of bought into him pretty heavy, thinking that they were okay with letting Aaron Jones go. And now I bought into him a little too heavy in a couple leagues. So now I have to wait a little bit longer, but it's all right. It's going to pay off in the end. I'm a patient dynasty player. I've been playing for 3 years, and one of these years I'm going to have a winning team.
In one league, when I saw Aaron Jones was going somewhere else, you know, I was really wanting to pick up Dylan for my team. So I was throwing Cortland Sutton out there. I was seeing if I could get that dude to bite and everything. And he's like, oh no, Dylan's going to be a stud there now and everything. And this is right before Jones re-signs with them, and I sent him a text afterwards and said, hey, how's Dylan looking right now? And he goes, hey, if you still want to give up Sutton, I'll do it.
Yeah, I bet. So Matthew chimes in. He says Green Bay are the biggest losers. I think he means in free agency, but I'm starting to think maybe he might mean a little bit deeper than that. But they brought back an oldest running back after drafting one so early and paid him more than back-to-back tags. Aaron Rodgers deserves so much better. That's true. Aaron Rodgers definitely deserves better than that front office. He's had to deal with a lot of bad drafts, a lot of bad moves. But and unfortunately, Nate's not on here for us to gloat about. But let's move on to the NFC East. We've got the Washington football team. They signed Curtis Samuel, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They replaced Ronald Darby for William Jackson at cornerback. So that's a pretty decent, pretty even swap there. I love this team. Yes. I'm falling for this team. I'm already in love with Ryan Fitzpatrick. We all know this, and I did find out that all we have to do to get him into the Hall of Fame is to nominate him. Anybody can nominate him, by the way. So I am sending in that official letter just as soon as he hits his 5 years after retirement to qualify for the Hall of Fame. And it's going to be, I'm even going to put it on a Toilets to Titles letterhead. We're going to send that in.
You just want to see that bronze beard.
That's right. I want to see that chest hair in the Hall of Fame. but Curtis Samuel, I think, is a great ad there. To go along with Terry McLaurin, they've already got Gibson. They've already got a great core there. This team's going places, guys. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to do really well. They're going to make some noise. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to make it into the Hall of Fame. Matthew says his comments that he really loves their moves as well. Samuel and Fitzmagic seem like such great fits. He's got a bathroom board suggestion that Fitzmagic starts all 16 games for the Washington football team this year. With that D, his turnovers won't matter. Are you?
I mean, who else is going to challenge him? Obviously he's going to start all 16.
Heineke, however you pronounce that.
You bring in Fitzpatrick to play the whole season and stuff like that because he got a great role, supporting cast and everything. He's playing the whole season and stuff like that. I'm not betting against that.
Yeah, I'm not touching that bet either, but mostly because I love Fitzpatrick. So, let's see. The Dallas Cowboys have signed 5 potential starters on defense. That's their biggest news, and that's actually big news. That's really good for the team. It's much needed.
Now, the Giants, they signed Kenny Galladay, Adoree Jackson, and also picked up John Ross, you know. That receiving room is very deep now and everything. And look, there's going to be a lot of supporting cast there too, everything. I mean, this helps Daniel Jones. Does he make that next step and everything with these key signings?
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think it can't hurt. I mean, to give the guy more weapons, it can't hurt. They still need an offensive line. They need Saquon to stay healthy. There's definitely potential, and they're only going to get better. Like, they can't really get too much worse, but yeah, I think it's very helpful. And then the last one I had on the list here, I saved the best for the last of all of the Philadelphia Eagles moves that they've made this offseason, which is really just one. They signed Joe Flacco to be the backup quarterback for Jalen Hurts. So I apologize to the show and the listeners that's the one I ended with. That actually wasn't on purpose. But I will say this much about signing Joe Flacco. That tells me that they believe even more in Jalen Hurts, or that they're at least willing to give him a shot. I don't think that you're going to see another starting quarterback for the Eagles for at least the next couple of years. They let Carson Wentz go a little too far trying to show what he can do without a good offensive line. Because Wentz was bad. Wentz was really bad whenever that offensive line got hurt, whenever that defense got bad, and he didn't have a good supporting cast around him. So that's why I have, you know, positive vibes about him with the Colts, because he does have a great support around him, and he played really well in Philly when he had that great support around him. So them signing Joe Flacco as the backup quarterback really tells me that they're not budging from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, this division right here, man, look. Washington, man, they did a great job this offseason with all the acquisitions they made. Cowboys boasting their defense and everything. I mean, if you want to sit there and think about it, I mean, the Giants, they bolstered offense and defense with the players they picked up. So this could come down to another season where everybody's 8-8 or staying fighting to stay alive, a winning record, everything. And it's not because they're bad. It's just because they're all going to be that good. And everything right. And stuff like that. I think this division made a big jump with all the moves that they made this offseason.
Right. I'm not sure what the creepy sign or the creepy message was about. I must have missed something there. But wait a minute. Is it because of the chest hair? I think it's probably because of my chest hair comment. If I know,
yeah, Steve, that is a little creepy.
Yeah, it is a little creepy. I'll admit. But I'm okay with it. Fitz is a lot of fun. Is Jones good enough for those weapons? That's a good question, Steve.
As long as the turf monster doesn't get him, he'll be all right.
I was right. It was the chest hair. Let's see. They should give Hurts a chance. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. So, I mean, that's pretty much all we have for the show today. Again, we wish good health on the Toilets to Titles clan because we're missing so many guys today. So, so best wishes to all you guys. But this was episode 48, our free agent moves. Rich, is there anything else you'd like to say on our way out?
No, I mean, everybody being sick, I mean, it's pretty bad when everybody's that sick and they have to bring me in and everything. So I do appreciate the opportunity and everything, and hope I get more opportunities with you guys. I love the team and everything. I like chatting with you guys and really deep diving in, and hopefully I could be an asset by bringing up some rookies, talking about rookies with this season coming in and stuff like that. And just great for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, man. It's been great having you on. I look forward to more interaction. That's at R Gonzalez RM on Twitter. You can catch me at JustinFF _. Don't forget our other hosts at Coach Sheps and at Nate _Dirt19 and the show at Toilets and Titles. Again, that's episode 48. That's a wrap for the show, but I do want to remind you to make sure you hit that like and subscribe button down there by Rich's shoulder right there, other side. Yep, down.
I got to learn how to do this.
Oh. Down. Yep. Yeah, somewhere around in there, you're going to see a link to hit that subscribe button to help us out. Give us a 5-star review if you would. Don't forget, those 5-star reviews are the ones that we choose for our Frankenstank League first. So we're doing all we can to bribe 5-star reviews out of you as best we can. And then don't forget to get flushed. We're out.